Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Yevameis Daf Samach Beis. We are holding on Samach Aleph Amad Beis, two lines from the bottom. So, how many children is one meant to have and will be considered to have fulfilled the mitzvah of Pru Urevu? We have machloikis between Beis Shammai Yusei, Beis Shammai Omrim Shnei Zecharim, two sons, and Beis Hillel say a son and a daughter, at a minimum. Asks the Gemara, Mai Tamayud Beis Shammai. What is the source for Beis Shammai that two sons are required for the fulfillment of mitzvahs Peru Urevu? Yalfinan mi Moshe, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, Dechsev, B'nei Moshe, Geir Shem Beliezer. Moshe had all but two children, two sons, as recorded in this Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. And Rashi explains, the Rai is because after he had his two sons, he separated. Pireish mina isha. He separated from Tzipora. Apparently, he had already fulfilled the mitzvah of Peru Urevu. That is Beis Shammai's reason. Ubeis Hillel, who say son and daughter, where are they coming from? Yalfinan mibriyas sheiloilam. We learn from Adam and Chava, who formed the nucleus of humanity. When Hashem is instructing us to continue, to add a link in the chain of humanity, apparently it's meant to be a son and daughter. We have the ability to perpetuate that chain, to continue inhabiting the world. So you need son and daughter. Asks the Gemara, Ubeis Shammai Leilofim Mibriyasa Shelaylam. Why don't Beis Shammai learn from Beis Hillel's Raya? It seems to be a pretty on-target Raya. A son and daughter. They have the ability to promote civilization further down. Ain done an efshar mishi efshar. Look, you can't bring a raya from Adam b'Chava. At that point, it was kind of impossible to do things otherwise. If not for Adam and Chava, Zohar and Akeva, you have nothing else. It doesn't continue. In order to create that continuity, you need to have Adam b'Chava. But that's not to say that going forward, nowadays, you need to have son and daughter. As Rashi says, look, I have two sons, that fellow has two daughters, so we're okay, we're even out, we're balanced. Therefore, Beis Shammai do not learn from Adam v'Chava. Rather, from Moshe Rabbeinu, where we see that once he had his two sons, that allowed him to separate min ha'isha. Ubeis Hillel nami leil fumi Moshe. Why don't Beis Hillel learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Where it seems that two sons suffice. Amri Lach Beis Hillel will reply as follows. You can't bring a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe mida'atehu da'avad. He did it by his own volition. It was in preparation for his contact with Shechina. He had a very unique position in Klal Yisrael. A very high standing. It's not something for everybody. The Sanya, as we learned in a braisa, Shloisha Dvarim, the following three things. Asa Moshe midaita. Were done by Moshe Rabbeinu, by his own initiative, but ultimately Hashem agreed with him and consented with those steps. Number one, Piresh min Isha, he separated from Tzipor, his wife, v'shiber saluchos, and he broke apart the tablets upon witnessing the Chet Ha'Egel. Number three, v'hoisif yam echad, he added another day of preparation before Matan Torah. Explains the Gemara. Based on what? Why did he do these things? Pirush min Isha, my dorash. What was this based on? Omar explained like this. He figured, Omar Yisrael. Look at Klal Yisrael. Shloidi bro imahem shchina elalif Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, in preparation for Matan Torah. It was a one-time encounter with the Shechina, one-time event. V'kava lahem zman, which they knew in advance. It was a pre-appointed encounter. Umra Torah, still we find the Torah tells them, separate, al tikshul isha, separate from your wives in preparation for that event. Ani, by myself, by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, shemiyuchad ledibur b'chol shah v'shah, who's meant to be fully prepared in anticipation of an encounter with Shechina, any time, it could happen any time, v'le kavel izman, without any pre-warning, without any pre-appointment. Alachas kama v'kama, certainly, of course, I meant to prepare myself accordingly and be in a constant state of Kedusha, in which case it precludes engagement with a wife. So that was his own idea. It turns out that Hashem confirmed this approach. Shenemar, this is following Matan Torah. Lech emar lahem. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, look, go tell Klal Yisrael to go back home to their wives. Shuvu lochem lo aleichem. But you, v'ata poi, amoydi imodi, you stand here with me. He confirmed Moshe Rabbeinu's initiative. He was maskim ledaitei. Asks Tosfos, if that's so, so what was the lashon hara that was spoken about him? Why was Miriam and Aaron upset? Right, the whole story, we know that when Hashem tells Moshe to go appoint the shivim zkenim, Miriam praised them. She says, "Wow, look, fortunate are their wives, that their husbands are zeicha to be connected to Hashem." And then they overheard Tzipporah saying, "Oy, oy lahem l'nishayim shalayla, woe to their wives, because look what happened to me." From that point onward, from when Moshe Rabbeinu connected with Hashem, Pirush Mimenu separated from me. And they were kind of upset at him. They spoke about him. That's how the whole story with the Tzaraas happened. The question is, why were they upset if this was confirmed by Hashem? It's a pasuk. V'ata poyamoydi madi. What did he do wrong? Listen to Tosfos. V'yishleimar says Tosfos. This is at the end of the third Tosfos from the top. V'yishleimar. Mishum da'amrinan b'derech she'odom roitze leilech mendichen oisei. Chazal tell us, in Gemara Makas Daf Yud, Hashem leads a person on. On which way? The way which he himself chooses. We see Uhu b'balit toher. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do this move. He made a move in that direction. He was b'balit toher. Hashem pushed him along. Hashem encouraged him. B'balit toher misayin loy. So sure, Hashem assisted him, encouraged him as a result of his own initiative. He initiated it. Hashem confirms it. And that's what they had. That's the opposition they had to him. Look, you shouldn't have initiated this move. And that's why they were upset at him. In any case, the Gemara takes an entirely different approach. Sure, it was his idea, but Hashem confirmed it by way of this pasuk. And it goes along with the other things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, which was perfectly consented for by Hashem. Says the Gemara, what was the second thing? Shiber es haluchais, he broke the luchais. My darash, based on what? Amar, he says, the eagle of a desora, they can't have the Torah. Uma Pesach. Look, we find even the current Pesach, which is just one mitzvah. Shu ach echad mishesh meyos ushleish esrei mitzvahs. Current Pesach is one of 613, right? Amra Torah, still the Torah says, v'chal bein neichal v'yichal bay, a fellow who's estranged to Hashem, who's veered off the path, cannot partake in the Korban Pesach, and here it's only one mitzvah. Certainly the Luchais, Aseres HaDibros, which contain the entire Torah. Ha Torah, Kula v'Yisrael Mumorim. Chal Yisrael is in a state of a mumor. They're strayed, they're involved in Avodah Zarah. Allah has come and become, certainly 100%, they cannot accept the Torah now. They're not deserving of the Torah, and he broke the Luchais. Did Hashem agree? Yes. His das conferred with das ladas hamokim. Hashem consented, agreed, and confirmed. Tchsiv asher shibarta. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, those luchos that you broke, asher is a reference to yasher, strength. By using this word asher shibarta, Hashem in effect is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I compliment you, I thank you. Yasher kechacha shibarta. This is where yasher koyach comes from. Ashi says, asher is lashon yasher. Your strength, your kayach should be yiyasher, should be strengthened. I support your actions. The third thing that he did was hoisef yemechad midati. He added another day in preparation for Matan Torah. My dorash based on what? Echsiv v'kidashta mayumi machar. Be mikadosh yourself. Prepare yourself today and tomorrow. Moshe Rabbeinu connected the two things. Today is like tomorrow. Hayom kimachar. Ma machar, just as tomorrow is a full 24-hour segment. Ma machar leila imay, it's day with the night preceding it. Af hayom leila imay, likewise the first of the two preparatory days. It needs to be a full 24-hour unit. day preceded by night. We no longer have a night. It's already daytime. We missed last night. Today's night is nafakle. It's already beyond us. Shema mina. Apparently, the proper way is two more full days. Trei yoimi, two full days. Lavarmi idna, aside from today. That's how we got to a total of 3 days. Today, a part day, and another two full days. V'iskimo da'atoi l'da'as ha'mokim, and indeed, his initiative was confirmed by Hashem. How do I know? Take a look at when Matan Torah happened. The Lo Yishar Yashchina, Shchina only arrived at Shabbat, waited until Shabbos, the day of Matan Torah, the third day from today. In any case, this is why Beis Hillel say we can't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's lifestyle, the fact that he was Pirush Mina Isha after two sons, because perhaps that was something unique to him which cannot be applied to an ordinary person. In fact, we find he did three things, three chidushim. One was Pirush Mina Isha, one was the Shaviras Haluchais, and one Hoisif Yim Echad Mitat. Okay, getting back to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we're going to have two more versions of their machlokes, two more additions. Tanya, we have an abraiser of Nosleim. According to him, Beis Shammai Oimrim Shnei Zecharim Shnei Nekevus. It's not just two sons, it's Shnei Zecharim and Shnei Nekevus. A total of two and two, four children, that constitutes the true kiyum of Piri of Arivya. Beis Hillel Oimrim Zecharim Nekevus, according to Beis Hillel, it's one and one. Omer Avuna, my time of the Rabbi Nosson, Ali Bede Beis Shammai. How do we explain Shitas Beis Shammai? According to Rabbi Nosson, it's two and two. The Siv Atoyi Siv Ladedes. This is by Chava, Adam Rishon's wife. Atoyi Siv Ladedes as Ochiv as Hevel. The word S is a ribui. With every one of their sons, they also had a daughter. Hevel Vachoisei. Kain Vachoisei. Kain came along with his sister. And Hevel, likewise. So it was two and two. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, after Hevel was killed, Kishas li elekim zera acher. So after Shais was born, they were very happy. Adam says, look, Hashem replaced my missing son. Kishas li elekim zera acher. Tachas Hevel, instead of Hevel, ki aroga Kain, who was killed by Kain. Apparently, he needed a full repertoire. He needed all his sons and daughters intact in order to really fulfill that directive of Pru Revu. Clearly, you still need two and two. Less than that is not called Pru Revu. V'rabban, what do the other Shitas hold? Oidu Yehuda Kamoidis. He was just being thankful to Hashem. But it's not to say that with less than two and two, you're not Mekayim Peru Urevu. Tani Yidach, there's yet a third version of the Machlokes. Rabbi Nosson, I remember, Shama Oimrim Zachar Nekeva. Oh, according to this version, it's Beishama, you hold boy and girl. Ubisil Oimrim, how do you fulfill Peru Urevu? One or the other? Oy Zachar or Nekeva. Omar Rava, my time with Rabbi Nosson, how could it be one or one? Aliba de Beisil, how could that be? Shanem Aloy Soyu Bara La Shavas Yitzara. Terry says, Hashem didn't create the world to leave it uninhabited, desolate. We need civilization, we need people. V'avad lo shevet. Fact is, once he bore either a son or a daughter, he has contributed to the inhabitation of the world. That's enough. Itmar, we learned in a, we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Listen to this. Hoy lo ibonim b'yoyse evit kechav. Vinnis gayer. Suppose he had children while he was in a Ovid Kechavim state, and then he converted. Has he fulfilled the mitzvah or not? Look, he has children. Problem is, children were born while he was a guy. Do they count or not? Rabbi Yechon Amar, yes. Look, the fact is, he brought children into the world. Kiyim Piri Varivya. He was Mekayim, this mitzvah. He's a Yisrael, and he happened to have brought children. So happens to be, brought them a bit too early. But the fact is, he inhabited the world. He brought them into the world. V'reish lakish amr no. Loi kiyim piri v'rivi. That's not called the kiyim of a mitzvah. I think more explains the reason. Rabbi Yochanan amr kiyim piri v'rivi. He was mekayim, da avule. Fact is, He's a Yisrael who happened to bring children to the world. The fact is, they're his children. Notwithstanding the fact that they were born when he was a guy. But a Shlokesh Amar Loi Kiyim Piri Veriv, that's not called a Kiyim. You know why? He's a new person. They don't relate to him. They don't identify with him. Gershin is Gair, it's Kikotan Shnei Dami. A Gair is like a newborn child, a new entity, a new Metzius, recreated anew. The children that he had in his prior life don't count for whom he is now. And both, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, seem to be following their own shittos with respect to a question which is very, very similar to this one. The Itmar, as we learned, he has children when he was still a guy, and then he became a guy. And now he has another son. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Ein loy b'chor l'nachlo. The new son will not be considered a b'chor with respect to receiving a double portion in his father's inheritance. Fact is, he's not your firstborn. The ha'ava lay reishis oine. He already had his firstborn when he was a guy. But Rish Lakish Amar, no, they don't count. Yesh loy b'chor l'nachlo. The son born after his gerus is considered his firstborn with respect to double portion. Gershin is Geir, Kikotin Shnei Dami. When a Geir comes into the fold, he joins the community. He's a new person. And his new son is his firstborn. So it seems that according to Rabbi Yechonan, it's the Metzius of his children that counts. The reality that he has children. Be it born when he was a Goy or Yisrael, the fact is, the children are children. They exist. According to Rish Lakish, we look at the person. The Yisrael has to bring children to the world. These were brought when he was a guy. And therefore, vis-a-vis his Yisrael status, they don't count. Now, it would seem that both discussions are very much related, are linked to each other. The question whether the non-Jewish children are considered a kiyum of Piri V'Ribya, and the question of whether the son born now is considered a Bechor or not, seem to be related to each other, and therefore, what's the repetitional about? Why did they have to discuss both cases? You think they're both just parallel cases and redundant. Utsricha, both are needed. Di yashminan bahi kamais. If only we bring the first halacha where the children were born when he was still a guy, I would say bahi ka'amar Rabbi Yechonan. It's only there that Rabbi Yechonan says he was mekayim mishum de meikara nami, because even when he was in his pre-Yisrael state, Nami b'nei piri v'rivya ninu, even a guy can relate to piri v'rivya. Rashi brings a pasuk of Bereishis test. Vayomer lehem pru revu. Even the b'nei noyach were given this instruction. So therefore, those children born when he was an Akum, even though, you know, relative to Yisraelim, they don't really count. But at that point in time, he was Mekayim. He was somewhat Mekayim, this concept, inasmuch as he can relate to it when he's a guy. So in that case, perhaps Rabbi Yechonan says, look, he's done. He has fulfilled. Aval inyan nachla. But when it comes to the concept of nachla, the lav bnei nachla ninu, the goyim have no connection to this concept of pishnayim, the b'chor taking double portion. Therefore, in this case, perhaps, although he had a child before he became a ger, that doesn't preclude this new child from being the b'chor with respect to nachla. Ema, perhaps in this case, moedilei l'Rish Lakish, he would agree to Rish Lakish that only this child born after gerus is considered a b'chor l'nachla. Perhaps you would agree? No. Rabbi Yechonan says no. Even when it comes to Nachla, the fact is you already had children, and they're considered his firstborn. V'yitma b'ha. If only from the second halacha, I would say b'ha kamar Rish Lakish. Only in this case, Rish Lakish says, look, you can't consider the other children as interfering factors with the new child. No, the new child, he's the b'chor l'nachla, because Nachla, Bechor, Pishnaim, is a Jewish concept. So that gets kicked off, that gets initiated through this child born after Gerus. So over here, Rish Lakish holds his ground. Aval Bahi, but in the first case, where it's just a question of, was he Mekayim Peru Revu? By way of those children brought into the world before the Gerus by Ema Bahi, Moida Leila Rabbi Yechon, perhaps in that case he agrees to Rabbi Yechon. He was already Mekayim because the concept of Peru Revu relates even to the Gaim. Sricha, that's where both halachas are needed. No, on both accounts we have machlekas. And pretty much, you see they're being consistent with respect to their positions. Rabbi Yechon looks at the facts on the ground. You have a child. You have a metzias of a child that you brought to the world. He counts, even though he was brought way back before Gerus. Rish Lakish looks at the person who's bringing the child. Did you fulfill the mitzvah as a Yisrael? And if you didn't, redo it. Eisvei Rabbi Yechonan Rish Lakish. Here comes Rabbi Yechonan. Rabbi Yechonan says that even children born prior to Gerus count as Piri of Arivia. He asks the Kasha to Rish Lakish. I'm going to show you that even children born to non-Jews count, they relate to them, they identify as their children. Ba'esahi, at that time, Sholach Baradach, Baladan, Ben Baladan, so Baradach, Baladan, son of Baladan, whose Melech Babel sent messages to Chizkiah, it's clear from the Pasuk that even a non-Jew relates to his father. He's considered his son. Amar Leis, Rish Lakish responds, of course, B'yoysen ob d'gechavim, Islu Chayis. While he's still a non-Jew, of course he has Chayis, Lashon Yichas, he relates to his father. A Goy to a Goy relates properly, but relative to Yisrael, that has no value. Nizgairu les lo Chayis. But once the father turns it to a Jew, the bottom that he had beforehand don't relate to him any longer. And don't count as his fulfillment of Peru Revu. Amar Rav, but you should know, HaKoyel Moedin, all agree, even Rabbi Yechonan would agree, Be'eved, if he's an Eved Kanani, Shein Le'chayis, that's worse off than just a guy. He's subordinate to the owner, that's not considered a fellow to reckon with. He can't have children, his children don't identify with him. Tichsiv Shvilochem Poimachamar, Avram Avinu tells, Eliezer Yishmol, when he went to do Akedah Sitzel, he says, look, sit here with the Chamar. We have a drasha. Why im ha-chamar? Im ha-doim al-chamar. He's telling Yishmael, sit with Eliezer, who's an Eved, who's doim al-chamar, meaning he's like an animal. And basically what he's saying is, I own him, he's my possession. And he has no yichas. It's just like a possession like anything else. Meisvei, we have a kash on this as well. Well, it's Tziva. Tziva, we know, was a Eved Kanani of Mifiv Boishas. And the Pasuk says, he had Chamish Osar Bonim, 15 sons. And Eved has sons, they relate to him, they identify with him. He asked from Avadim and 20 slaves. He had a slave that had slaves. Amar Vachabar Yaakov, no. Kippar Ben Bokar. Sure, he had sons, but it's like a par, the son of a Bokar. It's just an offspring. It's like an animal offspring. It's not really Chichus and Chayis and considered his true son. Well, if that's how you interpret this pasuk, so the term banim is not necessarily banim per se, it's just a way of describing his offspring. What about that other pasuk of Baradach and Baladan ben Baladan? Perhaps ben is just like par ben bakar. Shani Hasam, no, there it's different. But your regular guy, it does relate to him. It is considered his true child. Diachsinu bishmayu ubishmodo avuin. You see that we call him, we relate to him as this fellow, Ben the other fellow. Right? That you don't do by an animal. V'hachalim mefarshal. We have by tziva, they're not described as such. He had 15 kids, and you move on. There it's being very specific. It's giving them chashivas, the son of that fellow. Clearly, a guy is different than an Eved. Hiba is Ema. Another teretz to this kasha. Where do we find that a guy's offspring relate to him and have yichus and count? Yachsinu b'duchta achriti be'avoin u'ba'abed avoin. If we take a look at another pasuk, we find that at times a guy was described was related to. By using his name, his father, and his grandfather. That's something unique. Apparently, he's been mizyaches to his father and to his grandfather. Ben Hadad. Right, Hadad, ben Tvarimoin, ben Chazion. So it goes all the way up to his grandfather, Melech HaRama, Yishuv of Damasek, Lamar. So apparently, a guy while still in Goy state, of course, is considered a son and a grandson. That's certain. An Eved not, but a guy yes. But the question is, once he makes that transition, he's in his Geir, what happens now with his children? Do they count for now or not? We have a machlekes. Rabbi Yechon says yes. Mishalker says no. Itmar. Here comes a third discussion, which is also closely related to the previous discussions. Once again, we're going to see that Rabbi Yechon focuses on the mitzius, on the reality of things. Hayloi banu mameso. An ordinary Yisrael had children, and they passed away. What happens now? Does he have to redo, or was he already Makai? The fact is, he has already brought children into the world. Rav Huna Amar Kim Piri Verivya. He was Mekayim. He did what he had to do. Rav Yechon Amar, no. Loi Kim. He is not fulfilled. He has to start again. Fact is, he has no children. He has not contributed to society. Rav Huna Amar Kim, according to Rav Huna, he was Mekayim. How could he be Mekayim if there are no children? The answer is, Mishum de Rav Asi. The Amar Rav Asi. Ein ben David ba. At she yichlu kol haneshamay shebeguf. There's a chamber in Shemayim called Guf, which perhaps takes on the shape of a Guf and the form of a Guf, and that's where the neshamas that are destined for a Guf are kept in the meantime before being sent down to the world. When does Mashiach come? When all those neshamas have been depleted and sent down to the world and brought the world to the shlemus. Yatef means delayed. It's going to be delayed until the ruchais that are here are going to be taken. Therefore, says Rav Huna, look, he did that already. He was Mekayim the Tachlis. He brought those neshamas to the world. That's enough. What happens later, they passed away. That's not his responsibility. Rabbi Yechon Amar, no. Waikim, Piri Verivya. He was not Mekayim. He hadn't yet attained the goal of Lashavas Yitzarabin. You have to inhabit the world. Well, luck, you don't have them. Meisvei comes a kasha on Rav Huna. Bnei banim, grandchildren, harihen kebanim, are treated like children. And the Gemara figures, we're talking that a son passed away, but he left over a grandson. So the son passed away, that son had a son, who he's leaving behind. Harihen kebanim, they count. So Mr. Grandfather was yoytzei his mitzvah because he left over a grandson, who sort of replaces, can act like a substitute to his son who passed away. But clearly, the child has to be around, has to be intact, to be considered a mitzvah of a piri of a rivia. It's a right to Rabbi Yechon, a kasha, a Rav Huna. And says the Gemara, no, that's not the pshat in the braisa. Ki tanya ahila hashlam. It was speaking there that he never had a son and daughter. So you had a son, that's it. And the Bryce is telling you, look, if that son happens to have a daughter, then Mr. Grandfather fulfilled his chiyuv. Because bnei banim are like banim. But it's not to say that they have to all be living for the father to be mekayim the mitzvah. As long as they were born, they were around at a given point, that's enough. Meisvei, here comes another kasha. Bnei banim arehem kebanim, right? So children, grandchildren, can count as children. Okay. Here comes the punchline. Meis echad mehem. If one of his offspring passes away, he has to make up for that. Or yishenimtza siris. Or let's say one of his children turns out to be a siris, unable to bear children, in which case he can't really contribute to society. Lo yikiyem piri verivya. Father was not mekayim. And this is a kasha, tiyufta dravuna, tiyufta, a clear refutation. On Rav Huna's shita, clearly this son has to be around. But we see a chiddush. even if a son is no longer around, but he left behind a son, who's really a grandson to the grandfather, that's enough. And that's what the Braisa means. B'nei Bonam, or Ha'im Kebonam, as we figured originally. Child has to be around. But if the child passes on, but leaves behind a family, that can count as well. B'nei Bonam, or Ha'im Kebonam. How does this configure? How does this work? So Rabbi Lemaimar, he figures like this. Bro le bro, ubarta le barta. So going, let's say, Shitas Beis Hillel, you need to have a son and daughter. Now, bra, there was a son born, le bra to his son. Right? Now the grandson is around, but the son passed away. Ubarta le barta. Or let's say there was a daughter born to your daughter. And daughter passed away, and granddaughter is still around. So grandson or granddaughter, whichever case, replace the missing person, so to speak. They preserve, so to speak, their parents, and it counts as though they're taking their place and nothing's missing. The koshkin is certainly bra, if there was a son born the barta to your daughter. And again, the daughter passes away, and there's a son left behind. So let's say he had a son and a daughter, right? And his daughter passed away, but left behind his son. That counts. Although, now he only left behind two males, two Zacharim, his son and his grandson. That's okay, because as Tosis explains, you know, the son is really sort of preserving his mother. He's like instead of his mother. By him being here, it's as though his mother is here, because his mother brought him to this world, it's counted as though his mother is here, so to speak. So grandfather was Mekayim his mitzvah, because he has a real son, he has a grandson from his daughter. So it's as though his daughter is around as well, so he has a son and daughter. Aval barta levroloi. But Rabbi figures that in the following case, it's not going to work. It's not going to add up. Suppose Mr. Grandfather has son and daughter. He's yotzi the mitzvah. Now, his son had a daughter. Barta, a daughter was born the bra to his son. And son passes away. So now he's left with a daughter and a granddaughter. In this case, it doesn't work. You can't say that a granddaughter perpetuates the legacy, the memory of her, the existence of her mother, of her father, I mean, that it preserves her father because she's the manifestation of her father. It doesn't work like that. Why? Because it's sort of a downgrade, because it went from having a son to a granddaughter, a daughter, a nekeva is lesser, let's say, less than a son. So it's considered like a downgrade. You can't count her as a son. Right? A son is chayv and mitzvah, etc. You can't count her. You can't consider her as a preserver of the son. So again, we had a father who had a son and a daughter. He was yotzei the mitzvah. Now, his son had his own daughter. And then son passed away. We're going with Rabbi Yochanan that the children have to be in existence, right? The pruvu has to be a mitzvah, a reality. So now the son passed away, left behind his own daughter. That daughter cannot be considered as one that will preserve, so to speak, her father's existence. Because it's going down from son to daughter, it doesn't count. Amalei Rabba says no. Any type of child can be considered a preserver of their parent. Which basically means it's as though their parent is still around because they're the manifestation of their parent. L'shevus yitzorah b'inan. The whole point is to have the world filled with people. V'b'ikah, you have it. What difference does it make if it's a grandson or granddaughter? The fact is, there's somebody around who's keeping their parents' existence alive, so to speak, in which case, Mr. Grandfather still has his original son and daughter. Now, the Kuli Alma Mias, it appears clearly that all Shitas agree that the following scenario wouldn't work. Trei Michadloi, two grandchildren from one child, won't count as two. So let's say grandfather has a son and a daughter. Let's say his son passes away. Okay, so he only has a daughter. That daughter happened to have two children. It doesn't work. You can't turn one into two. The grandchild can sort of keep their parent alive, can preserve their own parent. But you can't take one parent and sort of split them into two and have them count as two people. He's not going to be Yotze. Grandfather's not Yotze, Pirivya Rivya, in this manner. V'loi, really, it doesn't work. V'amrle, Rabban and Rav Sheshes. Rabban and asked Rav Sheshes, they told him, Nosavitisa, V'oilet b'ni, why don't you get married and have some children? V'amrle, he says, look, V'nei Barti, it seems like he had a daughter, and his daughter's sons, Bonaininu, they're my children. Apparently, his single child's offspring accounted as many. So apparently you can take one child and split them up and count as many due to their offspring. And it's going to be credit to the grandfather. And says the Gemara, no. Hasam, in that case, d'chuyi k'matchilu. Rav Sheshes was just sort of getting out of it. That wasn't the real reason why he wasn't getting married. Rav Sheshes wasn't able to have children. Rav Sheshes Iaker, he became physically unable to bear children. Mipirkei Rav Huna, because he was kept very long in Rav Huna's shir, and due to his need to take care of his need, that sort of inhibited, that sort of harmed him, and medically he was no longer able to have children. But al pi halacha, he would not have been yotze the mitzvah with this type of arrangement. Amar le Rabba le Rava bar Mari, menah hamilsa dam rabban. How do the rabbanon know this concept that bnei banim arayen kebanim, that grandchildren count like children, as we just learned? Ilema medechsev, is it from the pasuk by Lavan, who says abonois benoisai vabanim banai? Look, all these daughters are mine, these children, the boys, the grandchildren, they're my sons. So you see, a grandchild counts like a child. Is that the reason? Elamiyat, if that's the case, what about when he says, Vatsoin Soni, look at this whole flock, it's all mine. Hachanami, is that true? Of course not. It was Yaakov Avinu's. Elo de Kanis Menayu. He was just saying to him, look, you got everything through me. Hachanami, here as well, by the offspring, the Kanis Menayu, it all came from me. That's not to say that it's really his. Rather, from the following pasuk, we will prove that a grandchild can relate back to his grandfather. It relates to him, it identifies with him, it's attributed to him. Chetron was from Shevet Yehuda. So he went ahead and he married Albas Machir Avigila, the daughter of Machir. They had a child, Sgoyv. It says, Machir, Yordu Mechaikikim. Mechaikikim, governors, they descend from Machir. Now we know that Mechaikikim have to be from Shevet Yehuda. Uksiv Yehuda Mechaikiki. Yehuda produces governors and rulers in Klal Yisrael. So how did Machir produce a Mechaikik? Apparently from this story. Because his daughter married Chetzrayim, which eventually led to more children. They were the Mechaikikim. So what do we see? That even one's daughter's offspring relate back to him. As it says, Menei Machir, they relate back to him, even though they were just his daughter's offspring. So clearly we see that the ben of one's bas identifies with grandfather. Okay, let's just summarize the sugya of Pru Revu up until this point. We have Bishamai Shita, actually three versions of Bishamai. How many children are considered the kim of the mitzvah? Tu Zacharim, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Tu Zacharim, tu Nekeves, we learn from Kail and Behevel and their sisters. Or Zachar Nekeva, Briyasa Shaloylam, Adam and Chava. We have Hillel's two versions, either Zachar Nekeva, Briyasa Shaloylam, or here's the Chiddush, Zachar or Nekeva. The fact is, Loshevet Zitzara requires some sort of contribution to society. What if he had children when he was still a Gari, and then he was Nizgair? Do they count? Rabbi Yechanan says yes. The fact is, he has those children. Rish Lakish says no, they don't count, because once he turns a Yisrael, he has to start all over. We had a similar Shaila regarding the Nachla, privileges of the new child born when he was already Yisrael. Rabbi Yechon says, he's not a Bechor Nachla, because the fact is he's not the firstborn. The old children count. Rosh Halkos has nothing doing. He's the Bechor Nachla. A similar discussion we had by Yisrael, a regular Yisrael had children, they passed away. Rechon says he's not Mekayim anymore because he needs those children here. Rav Huna says he is Mekayim, and the Gemara concludes Tiyufta, the Rav Huna Tiyufta. So in line with Rabbi Yechanan, you have to have those children. What if the child passes away, but he leaves behind a family? So if it's Ben Benoy, Bas Bitoy, or Ben Bitoy, certainly, then it counts. By Bas Benoy, so son passes away, leaving behind a daughter. That's sort of a downgrade. The Bai says it doesn't count. Rabbi says no. It certainly does. It's L'Sheves Yitzhara. The Gemara goes on to prove this concept that Bnei Banim count like Banim. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Deloik Rabbi Yishua. We refer back to the Mishnah where we learn that once a person was Mekayim Piri Verivi, whether it's Beishama's approach or Beishila's approach, at that point he can stop with his Piri Verivi efforts. Masnisin Deloik Rabbi Yishua. We're not following Rabbi Yishua who says, don't give up, don't stop. The Sami Yishua Imer. No, so the Misha Bialdusa, even though a person married when he was young, Yisa Isha Bidaknusa, marry again when you're old. Never stay unmarried. Ayulai Banim Bialdusa, children were born to him when he was younger. Yulai Banim is a Knusa, keep on going. Bring more children into the world. Shanamar, the Pasuk says, Vabaiker Zra Zarecha, in the morning, in the days of your youth, produce children. Even when you're really, really older, don't back off. You'll never know. How do you know which one's going to be successful? This one or that one? Maybe both will be great and perfect. The more the better. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he applies it to Torah and to students. Lama Torah b'yaldusa. Even though he learned when he was young. Keep on going. Yilmai Torah b'zeknusai. Don't think it's over. Keep on going. Hayulai b'talmidim b'yaldusai. He taught talmidim when he was younger. Yilmai talmidim b'zeknusai. Keep on going. Shenemar b'abayke Ezra Zarecha, to reference to producing students. Amru, in fact, we find by Rekiv himself that his Iker success came later on. He would think he had a successful career. It's time to retire. No. Look what happened. Shneim Asar Elef. One of the most well-known Gemaras. Shneim Asar Elav Zugim. Talmidim Hoyle Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva had 12,000 peers, chavrusas. Biggest tzaddikim, biggest Talmid HaChamim. Migivas Vadan Tifras. They were spread, they lived between these two towns. Givas Tilan Tifras, a huge island. Vekulon Mesu Perek Echad. All of them passed away in one period of time. Because they didn't have enough respect to each other. Each one had his own angle on Torah and Avodah. It was sort of a undercurrent of lack of covet towards each other. They died, they were punished, and the world was desolate from Torah. Rabbi Akiva came to the Talmid Chacham in the Dharma of Eretz Yisrael and taught them Torah. They became his new Talmidim. And from them came about the entire Torah of Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, Rab Yosef, Rab Shimon, Rab Lezeb, and Shamoah, Behem, Amidu, Torah. They were the ones who reestablished the Torah. So clearly, it's not just a matter of quality. It's a matter of keeping on going. These were the ones who actually brought success. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, when did they pass away? Kula Mesu Pesach Vadatzeres, within the Zman of Pesach to Shavuos, Maral says, that's the time of Hachana to Matan Torah. And there was a lack of Kavod HaTorah, and that's why they were punished during that time. Amar Avchama Bar Abba, Vitem Rav Chia Bar Abin, Kula Mesu Misara, they all experienced a very tragic death. Mayhi, Amar Rav Nachman, Askro, a very painful, tragic death. Amar of Masna, Loch Rabbi Shua, we follow Rabbi Shua's Shita. Even if a person had fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, there is a Chiv Medarabanan to continue making an effort in that direction. Amar Rabbi Tanacha Maruchani Loi, Kol Adam Shein Loi Isha. Now we're switching tracks. Marriage encompasses two aspects. Piri Verivya, the fact of just being together with an Isha as one unit. Kol Adam Shein Loi Isha, person who's unmarried, shorei b'lei simcha, he dwells without true happiness. B'lei bracha, without proper bracha, he's not, doesn't have the fulfillment of life, the ish and the isha, constitute one single unit, one shlemus, they become a vessel for Hashem's bracha, b'lei toiva, without that there's no toiva, b'lei simcha, where do we find that? D'chsiv, v'samachta ata b'isecha, we see simcha is contingent upon the chibur, the connection, the relationship of ish v'isha. B'lei bracha, without an isha, there's no bracha, d'chsiv, l'niach bracha b'isecha, bracha arrives in one's bias when it's properly configured. B'lei toiva, the toiva as well is dependent on that, d'chsiv, loy toiv, hayoyse adam levadoi. Yesterday we mentioned the name of the Maral. Toiv is not just feeling good, being good, it's giving over, sharing that goodness, spreading the toiv to others. That only happens when a person has that opportunity through marriage. B'marava Amri in Eretz Yisrael, they added two more things. Without an isha, it's b'loy toira, b'loy chayma. Without protection. B'loy toira, it's lacking in toira, by the way, that's why they do aliyah before the wedding and afterwards. To contrast his state of affairs vis-a-vis the toira, before and after marriage, now you have the true toira. If I don't have my Ezra, I don't have my companion to look after all the mundane chores of life, I don't have the proper focus, the proper concentration of the Torah, I don't really acquire properly. So the Isha contributes to his Torah learning. B'loi Chaima is left without a protection. She surrounds the man and empowers him with that, so to speak, vaccination, insulates him from foolishness. Rava bar Ula Amar, b'lo shalom. Shalom as well is dependent upon the Isha. Ben Ishchai learns, shalom is lashon of shleimus, true perfection, true completion, is that combined ish v'isha configuration. D'chsiv, how do we know this? V'yodata ki shalom ahalech, ufakadato novech v'lesechta, we see that a proper shalom is only related to the oil, meaning the institution of marriage. Amar b'shimon levi, a person knows that his wife is worthy as Yiras Shemayim. Ve'inei poitan, he doesn't really provide her with her emotional needs, doesn't live with her as married. Nikra choyte, he's considered choyte. Don't think you're on such a high madrega. No, you see a isha who's deserving of affection. Give it to her, you makayim the mitzvah. Shenemar v'yadata kisholim ha'oleich. When you see that she is sholim, she's shleima b'Yiras Shemayim, she's deserving of your attention. Of course, you have to be makayim your mitzvah of aina. V'omar Rabbi Shimon Levi, chayev adam lifka des ishtay b'shosh yetzel l'derech. There's an additional obligation to provide for one's wife's needs when he's about to leave, embark on a trip. That's a time when the emotions are really evoked, a longing is generated, and therefore you have to address her needs. Shenama v'yadata kisholim ha'oleich. Make sure the oil is shalim. Make sure that her emotional needs are tended to. Says the Gemara, that's learned from a different pasuk. Gamach and nafka, that learned from here. Me'osam nafka, that's learned from elsewhere. Veli shechtishu kosich. Hashem tells Chava, you're going to be longing for your husband's attention and affection. Malamed, we learn sha'isha mishtaykekes al bala b'shoshu yetzil aderech. One example is when he's about to leave town. She's very longing for him. She has a desire to be close to him. And as Rashi learns, is a svara to say, look, the whole point is to provide for one's needs, for her needs. So when he's about to leave, that's a perfect time to do that. Omer of Yesus, so why do we need the conscience? Why do we need the other pasuk? We have it from this pasuk, where the Torah is indicating that husband has to be extra sensitive and address his wife's emotional needs. Omer of Yesus, v'leinitzruch, the chiddush of the new pasuk is, elo l'samach l'vesta. Suppose she's close to the Zman, where she is liable to become Anita, the time of the vest, of the regular period arriving, still the Chiddush of the Pasuk is the fact that she is longing, and the fact that there's an extra need, that supersedes this concern, and he should live with her as married. And Tosis disagrees, actually. Tosis says that the Pasuk doesn't mean actually Tashmish, it means that, you know, he should carry on a conversation with her and be close with her in that way. But Rashi clearly learns otherwise. V'kama, what does it mean, samach levesta? Amarava oina. Oina is a period of a 12-hour period, day or night. So it's the daylight period of the nighttime period of her period arriving, meaning she's expecting a period during this daytime period. That's the oina of the vesta, samach levesta. And that's what we're speaking about. V'hani mili, this is that we say that when he's about to leave town, he should tend to her needs. That's only l'dvar reshus. If he's going out and taking care of his own, he's going on a business trip. Aval l'dvar mitzvah, but he's embarking on a mitzvah. A trip mitridi, he's too preoccupied to perhaps involve himself with these things. That's one pshat in Rashi. Other pshat in Rashi is that if he'll be too involved with his wife, he'll disregard the mitzvah and it's going to interfere with his ability to prepare properly for this mitzvah, and therefore, in that case, he's exempt. Okay, so what did we learn today? We discussed the mitzvah Purvu, and we had all those details. B'shamay b'shillel, we had the various machlekes in Riach and Rish Lakish. Then we discussed the chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua, and that's how we paskin, that there is a chiv derabbanan to continue having children even after having fulfilled the mitzvah Purvu. Rabbi Akiva says the same thing regarding learning and establishing talmidim. We learned about the power of marriage. The Isha brings about simcha, bracha, shalom, Torah, chachma, Torah and chayma. And we learned about the Torah obligating the husband to pay good attention and tend to his wife's emotional needs. All the best to you, and may we have much aslacha.